Guess it's time to pack it up and leave that church. Hey, what's up?
Hello, welcome to the Pantry Podcast, where we serve up Jesus, not junk food. Don't forget to subscribe, to comment, to share, to like, to keep this going and going so we can spread more of the truth about Jesus.
Man, it's going to be a good one today.
Yeah, we're kind of wrapping up our little micro season. We used to do seasons. Like, if you've just joined us recently, we used to have seasons and they had themes, and then we went to like whatever we want to talk about each week, and we kind of went back to a little micro season about like reasons to stay, reasons to go, reasons to think about and consider, you know, different aspects of church. And so we're kind of wrapping that up so that we can kind of move into something else. And we're like, well, the big question is like, when do you leave? When do you stay?
The million dollar question.
If we were Mike Winger, if we were Pastor Mike Winger, it'd be like a 37 hour deep dive study, because it's a deep question. We're going to do it in 17 minutes, right? You come to us for brevity. But shout out to him. He just put out an amazing video. So go check
out. Why you leave the church?
No, actually on the role of women in church.
Ooh, okay.
Which is so helpful. And it's like a digest. And that's one of the reasons you might feel like you need to stay or leave your church, right? We're not going to get into that one today because that's its own thing. But again, like, there are reasons to leave it, to leave a local assembly, and there are reasons to just stay. And so that's kind of what
I think
about.
We have to throw out some of the obvious up front. You know, when we watch throughout the Gospels, we watch throughout the epistles, we constantly see that there are false doctrines, there's false teachers, there's antichrist out there trying to preach a pseudo Christ.
Yeah.
If you find yourself in one of those churches and you find yourself in a church that's not biblical, I would say leave that church. Mm-hmm. That's really the easier of them all.
Right.
From there, it becomes a lot of conviction. Mm-hmm. It becomes one of the things that we've really been bringing up in a lot of this over the last few episodes is that we like to put it in the Holy Spirit's hands. In other words, we don't just jump to a conclusion and say, oh, my feelings are hurt, or oh my gosh, I can't believe they said this one thing, and we just pack up our bags and leave. First thing is always prayer. And so as we move through this and we discuss this, remember that what answer might not always be the right answer for you, but it's answers that we can come up with and really discuss.
Yeah, I don't think there's a healthy pattern everywhere that you go. Like, the advice isn't always healthy about when you should leave, because, and we talk about this sometimes, like the worldly residue of how to cope with stuff doesn't always get washed off when we come into the church, because we don't address it. We just kind of take it as fact and don't hold it up to scripture. And so one of those things is that meme that goes around, like, you know, if you can't handle me on my worst day, you don't deserve me on my best day. And, you know, not every, there are, you know, something about like something, toxic people, something, you're better than that, something, leave them behind. You don't got to waste your energy on them. Those kind of vibes, those kind of memes, that doesn't line up with scripture. Sometimes you could maybe argue with a few tweaks that it lines up with don't fellowship with darkness and things like that. But, you know, we're called to grace and mercy and praying for people, even our enemies, serving our enemies food and drink. So, I mean, at the end of the day, is it always as clean cut as life got hard and I got offended and I got to leave? Not so much.
Right.
But it's also not as easy as, oh, we disagree and I'm going to let bygones be bygones and stick around.
Right.
There's other factors at play, and we don't have a clear cut one size fits all answer, but some things, like you said about prayer, like things that need to be checked off as far as like, is my heart right? What does the Bible say? Have I prayed about it? You know, those kind of things. Those boxes need to be checked before you dip set, I think.
Right. I absolutely. But I don't know, for a second, because this hit me while you're talking. On my best day, I'm a child of God.
On my worst day, I'm a child of God.
Anyways.
Oh, every day is a good day. Yeah.
That's a good attitude, though.
It is.
Because look, every day is not the perfect day, and that includes the church.
Yeah.
Now, there are some basics that I always go to. prayer, we just discussed, you know, we're very prayerful people, and I think that a congregation should be prayerful. Mm-hmm. I think that there should be an assembling of the community. I believe that doctrine should be preached and studied and taught, and I believe that discipleship should play a role in every congregation, because that is really what we're called to do. We're called to study the Word of God, have it on our hearts. We're called to go out and disciple to the world, right? Mm-hmm. We're called to fellowship and break bread together and do not forsake the meeting of the community. And I think that if any of those are off, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to leave.
Right.
See, people sit there and say, well, check, nope, check, 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 and then, oh no, and they fly the coop. Well, I think that, like, sometimes in that, oh no, they don't, why don't you bring it in?
Yeah, the investment, you know, like, if you think of just two people, if it's somebody that you love and you realize something is amiss or awry in their life, kind of pointing that out lovingly, which is an art in itself that we pray to the Lord to start having, but, you know, pointing that out to them, you would consider that doing it in love.
Right.
And sometimes if it happens from the pulpit, maybe because you feel the pastor isn't approachable, maybe they aren't, depending on where you're at, which could be a flag itself, right? But you can pray for that. There's all these things that you can pray for to help, because sometimes people just get so caught up in all the spinning plates, something drops, whether it's approachability or, you know, well thought out plans. Maybe they're just operating on this idea, like, we've always done it this way, and they haven't lovingly sat down and thought about it in a while because so much is going on. Right. Or maybe it was a slip of the tongue, or maybe it's something, some residue from their life before Christ that has lasted the last 20, 30 years, right? Because no one's brought it up to them. And maybe you're here for that reason, for such a time as this. That's you. And, you know, on their worst day, they're a child of God. Right, right. And so it's not always that if they don't perfectly agree that they're the wolf in sheep's clothing that needs to be dragged out, you know, to the pits of hell or repent. They might just have something wrong like you do and just need your loving eyes, in the same way that God will send loving eyes to you to point out your stuff.
I like that. I was just going, I just went through a sermon with the Apostle John, Sons of Thunder, right? And there's always a way to approach and to speak and to talk. And though truth doesn't have to be compromised, truth can be brought in a way that's in a loving manner, so that people have more of an ability to receive. Yeah. What if it's just his bad day? You know, let's say you approach the leader of the church or the pastor of the church or the person that's in offense, and they don't receive it. Okay, what if it's just that day is their bad day, right? That's the day that they're sitting there trying to unpack what you just put onto them. Mm-hmm. And they didn't necessarily come back in the greatest light.
Yeah.
But yet, who knows what seed was planted? And what if we were to vacate, run away, and never get to see the miracle and the beauty of a seed that is now flourishing?
Exactly.
And so then he gets on his good day. So on his bad day, he couldn't receive it. Pride. And I know leaders shouldn't have no pride. Shouldn't have, we hold them
beyond reproach.
I yes.
But at the same time, yes, like, come
but they're,
on.
But they're also people.
Can we be reasonable?
Right.
Can we understand that beyond reproach might not mean that they're Jesus and never sin ever? And maybe it more so means that they're in a common pattern of repentiveness and humility enough that the sins they do still have recurring in their life sometimes are just that. They just pop up sometimes, and they're not these unrepentant things that need rebuke, but they're things they're aware of and constantly laying at the cross. There's a difference.
You know, when we first got married, right? It was like, wow, yeah, what? Yes, that, what? Oh my gosh, all these check marks, all these things lining up, and then you get married, and then, like, you start to live together.
And you're like, that actually, like, don't jive.
Wait. Right. But do you vacate?
No.
No, you don't vacate. You stick it out. Now, look, this doesn't count the abuse and all those other things that can happen in church life. This counts those things where it's like, okay, we're 98%. Watch, maybe even 80% where you believe compared to what the church believes. And as long as the foundational belief is there, the trutuary is kind of like one of those areas where it's like, well, what if you live in a city that only has like three churches? And then it's like, okay, I've got these three churches. Well, this is the best church. They do preach the gospel. They're really close. But, you know, in times I just don't quite match up with them. So you stay home. Well, now you're really doing what God has told you not to do, just to sit at home, because why? There was a little bit of something in someone's, you know, way of making it up, or interpretation, that's the better way, that you just don't agree with. Well, how about this? Why don't you pray about it?
Yeah.
Pray about it. Look, still go with the fellowship. You don't have to always agree with everything that the fellowship has.
Right.
But it's good to have as many as possible. Look, trust, the higher the number, 80, 90, 95,
yeah, it's that's really better. Great.
But like, a lot of people don't have these options. I know that I talk to a lot of people and they're like, well, I'm in a small town and I only have one church. Then you're really like kind of hurting. Those are the people that I kind of like, my heart goes out to, because I'm like, you really don't have a choice, because their doctrine is just.
But see, here's the other thing is, in that sense, you're right.
Right.
And help, I was listening out to K-Love.
Okay.
And one of the DJs was talking about the PTA meeting. They were trying to raise money, and everyone just kept bringing up what they don't have. And finally, one woman was like, we have a popcorn machine. We can sell popcorn. Ooh. And she brought up the thing they did have. Mm. And so I think you have a very valid point, because we want to commiserate with the people who feel like they don't align at all with the one church that's there. Now, if it's not a cult, though... Okay, because that's different. Right. That's not a church, okay? If the only building is a cult, then you don't have any churches, actually. And you could technically start one in your living room, right?
There you
go. So you have a choice, right? You do have a Bible and you do have the Holy Spirit, so start one so that you're not the only one hurting for the Lord.
At least start a Bible
in
study.
Your area. Right, start with a Bible study. But if you have a church that reads the word but doesn't agree with you on maybe the end times philosophy, or they don't agree with, you know, when to baptize, or they don't agree on what version is the right version to read or what have you, but they're like preaching gospel and saying Jesus is the only way, and they're defining Jesus accurately,
right?
Then you do have a choice, because you can pray. And I think it's not just about praying that they start agreeing with you, because that's actually not a humble prayer. The prayer that we want, that starts positioning and aligning our heart in the humble way, in the way that's really submitted to God, is to say, Lord, correct where there needs correcting in my understanding of you and in their understanding of you. And you might not be the only one that disagrees in certain areas in your local assembly that might be, you know, the only one you've got, or what have you. But here's the thing is, you cannot sit there and say with complete confidence you have all of it down pat. Neither can they. But sometimes it's humbly asking God, correct the one of us that is wrong in every area, so that we're all kind of becoming more like you together, being of one accord. Sometimes you're fresh into the boat of Christianity, and you're like, I got it all figured out, and that's not how I interpreted that scripture, and so they're apostate. That's not necessarily the conclusion. That could be the conclusion. That might be true. But do you know, have you asked God to clarify it for you? I think in our marriage, there have been some really big life decisions that changed the whole trajectory. And we've disagreed. And we've gone to God and said, Lord, work in the heart of the one that's wrong. If we're both wrong, which, you know, in some ways, both of us probably are partially wrong, work in our heart in that, so that we're in agreement with what you want for us. And that he's never let us down.
Yeah, I think when we look at that, we have to be very cautious too. I like what we're saying here. I like what's being said, because there have been way too many breakoffs because of this.
Yeah.
I also like that definition where you're like, it's not a church. Right. If you're not teaching the foundational truths of Jesus Christ, you're right. It's not true. It's not a church. It's not what Christ calls a church. Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, why not put in the fillers out, you know, put them out advertise in the local paper that you're going to have a Bible study. And you know what? There's going to be other people too that have that same idea and that same truth of the gospel. Mm-hmm. On the other side of that, right? So don't just walk away and say, I'm going to start my own group. I have seen that a lot. You know what? Or how about this? This is even one. Those Assembly of God people, I'm going to say something here. I have learned throughout the short time of 10 years that I've been like back in church, right? The Assemblies of God that I grew up in isn't necessarily the Assemblies of God of today. There's been a lot of changes. And honestly, even within the Assemblies of God, there's differences, Baptist differences. And so who knows? Maybe they're labeled Assemblies of God, and they're a lot closer to what you believe than you think. right? Because we always assume, well, assemblies of God, they're just going to think this one way. Well, I've learned that they don't necessarily, because the way that I was growing up, you would lose your salvation. And now there's assemblies of God churches out here that don't even preach that, right. That they preach the security of salvation.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there's one thing that, and I think it's okay if we go over on this one, cause it's a more in-depth thing. Right. We'll go to maybe 20 minutes or something, but I think I'm glad what you brought up, like the preaching. When you think about a local assembly, I don't want to forget that there's two different things you might experience. You might experience it from people in the church, and it wouldn't be all of them unless it's a very small congregation or everyone's in a super group think mode and that's needs its own prayer. But normally it's like, okay, we've got about like 80 to 100 people at each of our two services. And you might have an issue with a small group of them. Maybe like this, there's a set of them that think a certain way or whatever, or they partake in a certain thing or what have you, and you have an issue. And maybe you feel because they are affiliated with this church, you need to leave this church. And then there's another thing about what is the pastor preaching from the pulpit? If sin is being preached as okay from the pulpit, then prayer and telling him and pointing it out scripturally with love is very vital and important. And if they aren't, if the pulpit refuses biblical correction, then it is time to leave, because the pulpit is controlling what everyone's supposed to be, you know, hearing about the word and how they're interpreting it and influencing everyone, and they're going about it completely wrong.
Right.
You know, saying, oh, you know, like, you must do this. Like, when they start saying must or never or have to about things that aren't biblical,
right,
that's a big yellow at the best flag, maybe red. If the pastor isn't the one promoting this, but there's deviations of opinion within the congregation, that's just a normal congregation. And so the only prayer you really need to pray there is that everyone kind of gets convicted where it needs convicting, and everyone kind of becomes more of one accord.
I think the most successful I've ever been is I shut my mouth to people and I open my mouth to God.
Yeah.
Because we want alignment and we want people to come together and we don't want to forsake assembly. So sometimes we have to, and oh, this might get me beat up. You're gonna probably have to correct and go all day on a whatever. But we might have to compromise, and I'm not talking.
We'll go deeper into the word.
I am not talking compromise in the sense of going anti-biblical. I am saying compromise in the sense of, okay, I understand your point. My point is different, but I'm not going to sit here and just battle you over it. Mm-hmm. You gave a good one at Bible study the night of, you know, because we were talking about bad compromise. And then you're like, well, there is good compromise where a kid has a toy and another kid has a toy or they want to play something that's different than one another. But sometimes you have to be there. Okay, I'll play with you for a little while. You know,
yeah.
I'm not saying that that's exactly the translation across what I'm saying here. But what I'm saying is we just compromise in a sense of silence.
Yeah.
I see so many opinions.
Right.
Even within our own congregation, which I consider beautiful, right? I'm like, whatever, okay, cool. You think this, I think this. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you the core of the gospel is being preached at our church, and that is what's holding people together,
and
because
it's doing amazing work in people.
Yes, and it's because the truth of the gospel is being spoken, and that is the power to save. And when we use the gospel and we stay founded in the gospel, I think Pastor said at one time, he's like, why do you think we sit up here and preach gospel all the time? Like, everything has the gospel message some way weaved, intertwined, or put into it. Mm-hmm. Because that is the last frontier in all of this. Do we know the gospel? Do we have the gospel? Do we believe the gospel? Because that's what changes people's hearts. And so therefore, maybe we have to stay in a church that maybe is not the most comfortable for us.
Yeah.
Maybe we have to not just stay at home because every check mark doesn't match up.
Right.
Maybe we have to, you know, get out of the house, get into a church, and just iron sharpen iron and be together.
Yeah. Sometimes we expect, and I don't know if we realize we expect this, we expect a church to be what already a useful tool for us in the way we define that, and we're going to come in there and its job is to serve us. And we forget that the church is not an organization, but the church is a group of people congregating together to worship the Lord. And it isn't this faceless entity against us or with us. It's a group of people, and they all have thoughts and feelings and opinions and experiences and chips on their shoulder and battles and victories. And so it's not you don't deserve a perfect church from the moment you're saved. In the sense of you get to walk in and expect they're never going to hurt you because they should be better than that. They should have perfect doctrine because they should be better than that. And they have the Holy Spirit, so you should expect more from them because they should never do this because the Holy Spirit, right? Because can you expect that of yourself at any point in your walk ever? No. And it's a group of people. And so when you go in, maybe your role is to be self-sacrificial and experience a discomforting church for a while for the sake of what the seeds you will plant in that place will bring for other people that come and for the people that are already there and for you yourself. Maybe that's your role. Rather than getting the wonderful, snuggly church that you've always dreamed that you think the Bible is explaining, your role is to help make this local church that's all beat up and wrong in your opinion. Maybe it's to make them the big, fluffy, amazing church for everyone involved. So that, I think that's my final like takeaway, yeah, right? Is that it's not, maybe your job is to leave, right? Maybe your job is to stay and fight that the gospel will be preached and that people there will be loved and that people there will realize who Jesus is more and improve that place.
That's good, that's good. I don't have anything else.
Well, cool.
Because I think at the end of the day, it's going to boil down to conviction. It's going to boil down to your morals, your ethics, right? Mm-hmm. But also in all of those, remember that sometimes we're not perfect either.
Exactly.
Amen.
Amen. All right, y'all. PantryPodcast.com. You can see all of our episodes, including the ones that are super early and aren't on YouTube. And you can also support us one time or recurring at patreon.com/thepantrypodcast. So until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you're fed a good meal, remember to follow the show on your favorite platform. The Pantry Podcast is also honored to be featured on Spark Radio and is part of Spark Network on KHCB's Uplifted Stream.